Welcome to another edition of Your Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunaberdi. Welcome to show number 318, entitled Vaccines and Reopening. How's everybody doing today? Before we begin, let's remind you that today's show should not be taken as investment advice. Investing involves risk and you can lose money. I am a licensed insurance agent in California and Medicare approved. And remember that you should consult a financial advisor before making any important decisions. And today's show is opinions, my opinions only, and may not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or underwriters. Money Matters is about money, as money does matter. And the matter of money affects us all in some way or another, whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it. It controls our economy, our country, our planet, and in some way or another controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is about you. Show 318, Vaccines and Reopening. Okay, so we haven't talked about the Dow, where the Dow was recently. It is busted over 30,000, and as we have talked before, these very large numbers are support and resistance levels, and the semi-big ones are the 1,000 levels, 21,000, 22, 23, 24. The real big ones are the large 10s, 10,000, 20,000, and 30,000. There's only been three of those, right? 10,000, 20,000, and now over 30,000. And it did bust through and come back down and bust through and come back down. And now we are above 30,000, at least today, December 16th, 2020, in the year of our Lord. It is sitting at 30,189, down 10 points today, but that's really consequential, not important. We're going to see if we can hold above 30,000. Now, today, it just so happens that the Fed is speaking. Mr. Powell has come out and said that they are going to maintain aggressive asset purchases. Now, first, as you know, the Federal Reserve is the manipulator of the money supply. So there's two types of policies the U.S. government can use. It is fiscal and monetary. Fiscal policy is like tax breaks or stimulus programs coming from the government. Monetary is currency manipulation, interest rate manipulation coming from the Federal Reserve. They work together. So Powell has come out today, said they're going to maintain aggressive asset purchases. Well, what does that mean to the average American? Now, if you've followed the show for a long period of time, you know that asset purchases is also, another word for that is quantitative easing. And basically what that means is the Fed prints up a bunch of money, and one, it buys treasury debt, it buys U.S. government debt from the government. So you've got one semi-quasi-government branch. The Federal Reserve really isn't government, it's a private corporation, but its chief is appointed by the president, so it's, most people think it's quasi-government. And so what it does, it's basically dad for the child, the U.S. government. And what it means is that U.S. government wants to spend money on stimulus or whatever it wants to spend money on, and it will sell debt to the Federal Reserve that prints up money and gives it to the government. So, I mean, kind of a roundabout way of doing it, but left hand gives it to the right and says they're separate entities, even though both hands are connected to the body. So asset purchases, what is the Fed buying? Well, they're buying treasury debt. They're buying government debt. So Federal Reserve buys debt from the U.S. government. It can also buy very popular mortgage-backed securities. Those are mortgages held by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Jennie Mae. He'll buy those from those semi-quasi, again, agencies, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, and Jenny Mae, there we go, quasi-government entities, so they'll buy mortgages from them. They can also, in my opinion, be overstepping their boundaries in doing this, but they can also buy debt from for-profit companies. I don't think that should be happening, but they do it. They can buy bonds from, like, General Motors, like they did in 08-09. In 08-09, they buy bonds from a lot of private companies, and they can buy mortgages or assets from banking systems. That's the third down the line. So the first down the line that they buy is U.S. Treasury debt. The second down the line that they buy is agency debt. Agencies, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, and Jenny Mae. And then the third down the line they buy is bank debt. Now, banks, as you know, are private companies regulated by the Federal Reserve, but they're private companies, and they can buy mortgage-backed securities from them or whatever they have, and they have. Banks are for profit, so that's where I think they kind of cross the line a little bit, where you have profits are privatized to the shareholders, and the liabilities are covered by the U.S. federal government. Too big to fail, right? You've heard that before. So they're going to continue to buy those to the tune of about $120 billion a month is what they're buying, which is an ungodly sum. So they're buying in, 3 months, $1 trillion worth of asset purchases, just off the charts. You would have told me 20 years ago they would have been at that rate, I would have said, you're crazy. But here we are. Now, when they do that, we see this market at a new high, 30,000. Ta-da! We got the 10 decades ago. We got the 20 a couple of decades ago, and now we're over 30. And so when the government prints up that amount of money and then adds to it government stimulus programs, the new program out is, I think I heard today they're talking about a couple of trillion for another stimulus program. They did a couple of trillion for the first COVID relief package. That was the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program. Unemployment bonuses of $600 a week to every American that applied, that qualified, plus whatever percentage of what you used to make. And then asset purchases, and then they had the CARE Act, and it's just on and on. So here they go again. And so anytime you print up that amount of money, it's going to go into the market. And it has gone into the market. As we can see, the economy is struggling. We got 25% of small business, in my prognostication, may not be accurate, is going to go under. Hardest hit would be restaurants, mom-and-pop restaurants, mom-and-pop boutique stores, and retail, down the tubes for sure. Theme parks, travel agencies, cruise ships, bigger companies, they're kind of getting bailed out, so they'll survive. Hotel chains, big ones, will survive. Small ones, mom-and-pop, they probably won't survive. So we're going to see a lot of small businesses go under. And you have to realize, small business is, 3/4 of the economy, so we're wiping out, at least 15% of the economy. So we're just seeing a tremendous amount of money going in, and it's floating into the economy. I mean, there's no other way to say it. So, there we are. We're at 30,000. I don't know if we'll stay. Will this thing ever go down? I mean, it is so far, so far stretched. It just keeps going up. And if they come out with another stimulus package, more money will go into the market. The big question in the minds of investors is, can the stock rally keep going? The Dow has crested all-time high, 30,000. It dropped below a few days, and now it is there again. This historic move has occurred while unarguably, the U.S. economy is in the weakest position it's been in decades because of the infamous COVID-19. We do have a vaccine. Pfizer's was approved. It's on distribution through every part of the United States. Moderna is expected to be approved soon. Pfizer, I think, is a two-part vaccine. You got to get a shot, and then you get another shot. I haven't heard anybody glacking over from the shot. People said they get, kind of flu-like symptoms for a while, and the arm gets sore. So far, it's getting to healthcare workers and emergency responders first. So people that are, us, normal people, Grass Valley, Nevada City, or wherever you're listening to the show from, we're going to get it sometime in March and April. So hopefully, it's going to be some people lost between that time, which is kind of sad. Many people are asking, how can the market keep going up when the economy is basically in shambles? The long and short of it is, there are two very good reasons why the market may be exhibiting such optimism in the face of such dire economic realism. I heard it coined on one of the financial networks, a wall of money. A wall of money that the U.S. government threw down mid-year in the first COVID rescue package. Over $2 trillion in giveaways, loans, backstops, and reimbursements. Few of you, maybe even me, can't comprehend how much money a trillion is. Okay, a trillion. A billion is 1,000 million. A trillion is 1,000 billion. I think the phrase wall of money is an understatement. I would call it a tsunami of bills. That would be more like it. Indeed, it's the most money thrown anywhere, at least in the amount of time they're throwing it in world history. There's also this second tsunami in the works, a second rescue package that is supposedly they're trying to get done before they break for Christmas. So we will see whether they get that done. A couple of trillion there. And so we'll see if that passes. If that passes, we may get another bump up. Can we go through 31,000? You know, years ago, I said, with the permission of regulators to republish that, I said it was going to 35,000. Not that it couldn't experience setbacks along the way, and it has. And I for sure didn't know that COVID was going to set it back that much. I had a feeling, but, you know, it's 39% correction of the Dow at the COVID low. So, second reason the market is ascending, not only besides the wall of money, is to realize that, and they have realized for quite some time, that COVID will eventually be brought under control and we will reopen again. Wall Street loves its comparisons. What I mean by that is once the consumers hit the streets unabashed, in my opinion, the money spent will be massive. You got all these crazy consumers that are all going stir crazy, pent up demand, and it will likely flood out into the market in every nook and cranny. People will travel and they'll go out and they'll enjoy the park and finally realize, wow, did we miss this? Indeed, in my opinion, corporate cash registers will overheat trying to keep up with the pace of the spending. It will be that fast and furious. That said, many are still scratching their heads trying to put some sense in a market in super rally while the underlying economy is reflecting such a dismal reality. Indeed, the cross currents are significant, yet the markets only on occasion reflect these contradictions. In other words, occasionally the market comes to its senses and goes, whoa, a lot of businesses are going under, and then corrects. And then it starts looking forward again, gets over its flu, and starts running again. So now we have a new president bound for the Oval Office. That adds to the sense of renewed hope. No much of this back and forth and fighting and tweets and everything that's driving everybody crazy. We're hoping of good things to come. Many are asking what the Biden economy will bring. I termed this Biden economy the buy them economy. I think that's more appropriate. That is only my opinion as to where the markets will go, the buy them economy. So although the Dow was at a new high right before COVID hit in early 2020, about in February, many guessed it was running out of steam then. With an estimated $5 trillion destined to the consumer and business pocketbooks in the round of stimulus, the first round of 2.5, and this next round that may be coming for another 2.5, it's hard to imagine that much of that money won't once again find its way into the markets. Now, that's not to say there are no risks to this market. There's always risk. Unforeseen and foreseen, anticipated and unanticipated. There will be upsets. Much could go wrong in the weeks and months ahead that make an all-in-stocks posture a very risky position. COVID could not fully cooperate and hang around. The economic damage could be worse than everybody's calculating. It'll be worse than I think they're calculating, in my opinion. The restart of the economy could cause unforeseen problems. Or also a prognostication of inflationary fires. Inflationary fires that could ignite into an inferno due to all this money that's been created to fund all these various rescue packages. Indeed, it has not been done where we've printed up $5 trillion very often. And we toss it into an economy within a year's time. That is a blank load, a lot of money, man. And to toss it into an economy, $5 trillion within a year's time? Oh, that's never been done. Never. What happens when that amount of money is tossed out into the world's largest economy? Yeah, well, the world's largest economy, but $5 trillion, I mean, that's a lot of money. We are indeed the U.S., and because we're the largest economy, the world, we are in uncharted waters. That the stock market thinks everything is predictable, going forward at least, for me, is a bit concerning. You know, that said, it's in my opinion, you know, don't think you know where this market's gonna go. I would just consider being a little careful. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. My name's Mark. We'll be right back after this short musical interlude. We'll be right back.
get back. I'm all right, Jack. Keep your hands off my
And welcome back to Money Matters. Thanks for joining me again today. We have to look at this rotation again, this sector rotation that we're seeing. You know, when we first started out with COVID, we saw the stay-at-home stocks run, such as the Zooms and the Amazons and, you know, Netflix, the ones that people utilize while they were at home. Now, obviously, it's not a recommendation to buy or sell any of those now, but when we saw kind of rumors of the vaccine, we saw those stocks kind of drop. And then we saw the industrial stocks, which were laggard, like Caterpillar and Emerson Electronics, you know, the boring things, you know, cars and autos, and even the cruise ships and the airlines and the hotels, you know, they kind of took off. So there was a rotation there. And that kind of happened a couple of times. There were cycles of it. Every time a vaccine rumor would come out, the stay-at-home stocks would fall and the get-away-from-home stocks would rise, and then more bad news would come out, the vaccine would be delayed, the drug company stocks would drop again, and the getaway from home stocks would fall again, and then stay-at-home stocks would rise again. And so there was this rotation back and forth and back and forth. So the market really didn't know which way to go. You know, it was when COVID got worse, the stay-at-home stocks would rise, and then when the news got a little better, the stay-at-home stocks would fall. So it was really like a yo-yo. So a lot of people did watch the Dow. The Dow kept kind of plummeting downward and then upwards and kept going upwards. I mean, you got to realize when this thing started, the Dow was sitting at an almost new high. Actually, it hit a new high in February, about 29,513, dropped almost 40% and hammered down to 18,300 and change. So it had dropped, 11,000 points. And here we are at 30,000 again. So the rotation I know has been driving people crazy. It's really been a trader's market, not a buy and hold market, because the rotation is just hammered. I can safely say if you bought some of the stay-at-home stocks, they took off so much, even the corrections have not hurt you that bad. So I just wanted to interject that, and we'll get right back to a musical break, and then we'll be right back with the last part of the show. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. And welcome back to your edition of Money Matters Show 318. Thanks for joining me today. So, there is a term in economics called creative destruction. Creative destruction. And I know the economic landscape looks dismal, to say the least. But in all things, there are opportunities. And people say, what? Well, restaurants are in trouble. Small and pop restaurants, retail, boutique retail, small mom and pop hotels. I can say that this is unprecedented, the damage that we're seeing. I mean, so many small businesses are going under. So I want you to consider this. Despite the unprecedented economic damage brought on about by the COVID-19 shutdowns, there are tremendous opportunities for the nimble entrepreneur. The capitalistic term, creative destruction, is perfectly illustrated in this current environment. The shutdowns have caused an untold number of businesses to close their door. Like I've said, I estimated about 25% of small businesses will go the way of the dodo bird. The concentration of fallout will be concentrated in restaurants, various types of retail and hospitality, and obviously most of them, the smaller mom-and-pop type stores. Small businesses, meanwhile, make up a majority of overall businesses in the U.S., which means as many businesses go under due to COVID, a gap or a series of holes will be left where there once was a plethora of vendors. A gap or a series of holes will be left where there once was a plethora of vendors. Keeping in mind at any time, new businesses continually open in the ebb and flow of normal cycles. In other words, no matter what day, what year we are, you can always look back and say there are a certain amount of new businesses that open up, right? Good economies, bad economies, somebody's always starting something. So I want you to consider this. With so many businesses going belly up, the reopening coming out of COVID could be an ideal time to open up a new endeavor in the areas that have been hit the hardest. Huh? Didn't think of that one, did you? Consider in the past, when new businesses open up during normal economic environments, their new customers, you open up a new store, your new customers are actually only someone else's old customers. Simply put, a new business gets its customers by stealing customers from existing businesses. Somebody might say, well, Mark, what do you mean? Well, the reality is because customers don't magically appear on the planet when a new business forms, right? New businesses instead are drawing off, for the most part, an existing customer base. Which could be better illustrated by me saying, once again, they must steal someone else's customers. That's the only way a new business survives. You've got to steal somebody else's. Now, since humans are creatures of habit, and that includes shopping habits, they are reluctant to change when they shop where they shop for good reason. The fact is that this one fact, in a long list of stark realities, that you must steal customers from other businesses and that people don't like to change. It's the reason why 9 out of 10 businesses fail before reaching their second year of operation. 9 out of 10. That said, although it is unfortunate that the COVID shutdowns have caused many businesses to shutter, this is the destructive part of creative destruction that the capitalistic vocabulary refers to. The creative part of the term creative destruction is the opportunity that the closing down of these businesses brings about to potential new business owners that have the resources to start up in the environment where there will be many holes in it. As far as available conduits for shoppers, which will hit the street once the economy opens up. In other words, half the stores are gone, so half your would-be competitors are no longer. New businesses will not have to steal customers from existing businesses because customers won't have enough businesses to go to. Or at least you won't have to steal as many. With so many of the would-be competitors now out of business, new endeavors will fill the gaps left by the dissolution of stores shuttered from COVID. The opportunity brought about by the destruction of so many businesses could be argued to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to the nimble entrepreneur. Opening a new business now in a sector that has been decimated by the shutdowns, remember, you got to stick to those sectors that have been hammered, could be just the opportunity potential startup owners could be looking for. Another consideration in this tragedy is that storefront real estate should be plenty. It's a lot of empty storefronts, meaning you might be in a position to hardline negotiate for lower lease rates, rental rates for a new storefront, or you can hammer your current landlord for a lower rate on your existing storefront, or you might have the pick of the litter as to the prime real estate and the ability to negotiate a very competitive lease. You will be a cat in the catbird seat? Bird in the cat? I don't know. However that goes, I should remember that. The same opportunities will exist for the businesses that still survive. In other words, if you manage to run your business to the point where you actually manage to have a strong enough balance sheet to survive the shutdown, you will also benefit from far fewer customers and far fewer competitors, in a more competitive leasing environment. You will be able to negotiate current lease rates downward or move altogether to a better location or cheaper location. In conclusion, it is said only the strong survive. In a capitalistic system, it can mean tremendous opportunity in the face of a stark reality. And that does it for today's Money Matters. Fun show. It's a condensed version, 29 minutes because of COVID. Usually we aired, I'm even beginning to forget, first and third Tuesday of every month at noon. But now since our Governor Newsom speaks at noon, they put me on 29 minutes, pre-recorded on Thursday evenings. Of course, you never know. Aired on 66 stations nationwide, and I don't know when they air it over on the other stations. So remember, discussions in this newscast is not to be considered as investment advice or personal investment advice. Opinions expressed are my opinions only and do not necessarily represent those of the station, staff, management, or underwriters. I am a licensed California insurance agent, California license OL34249, and a Medicare agent as well. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com. Free. Au gratis. Our way of community radio station saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. And that does it. This has been show 318, Vaccines and Reopening. And my name is Mark Cuniberti, and I want to wish you the best of holidays, because I'll be back first week of January. Money. Get back.